time for In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie. Got a question? Call us at 749-B105.
Back to haunt you, Tony.
You did. You scared the living daylights out of me.
Good morning. Welcome to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. It is great to be back after a couple of weeks' absence. What's going on, Tony?
Oh, little of this, little of that.
Are you scared?
I'm all scared. Yes, big time. Big time. You know, it's Halloween weekend.
Yes, it is.
You know, you'll see all the little trick-or-treaters out Monday. Did you, if you purchased all of your candy, I should ask you, have you eaten all of your candy yet?
You know, it's funny that you bring that up. No, I haven't. And Lisa will get it and hide it and then give it away to the, we'll give it away to the little ones on Halloween. But the lucky one is the last child to the house when they, when the time ends at 8 o'clock. She just picks up the bowl and dumps it in their basket or pillowcase or whatever it is. So, But it does always make me think of my younger brother, Cliff. He could hide or keep or manage his candy.
Yeah.
He would have Halloween candy till after the first of the year and probably last until Easter, until the Easter candy arrived. And he'd have that for months, too. Not me. I'd plow through mine as soon as I could and then go on the hunt to try to find where he hid his.
That's funny. I remember you saying that once before. Yeah. So he's a saver. He squirrels away his candy.
He's a saver, an organizer, and disciplined, and I am not. I'm everything but.
Well, you know, sometimes, Ernie, you have it, and sometimes you don't.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's funny. I just got a little scolding yesterday from my wife about...
Oh, did you?
Yes, and I'm not really a candy person.
Mm-hmm.
However, somebody's been bringing in some treats to the garden center and putting these little small Snicker candy bars in this bowl.
Yeah.
And, I am a sucker for a Snicker. So, I take one, two, go back here and I get three or four.
Mm-hmm.
And Tina told me yesterday, she goes, you know, that's not really meant to be your lunch.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got a little Ernie in me. What can I say?
That's right.
Yeah. So my dad obviously had gone into the office to, I guess he needs a little sugar fix occasionally.
Sure. Yeah. We all do.
And then we're gone. Sorry, Mom. What can I say? So Tina just had to let me know.
Yeah. It's a fun weekend. They all get to dress up. I'm looking forward to tonight. Working down at the Halloween Gala to benefit the Children's Dyslexia Center down at the Cincinnati Masonic Center this evening. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a great, great time. That's a blast. And everybody's in just a festive mood for this weekend. And it's good to be back. I appreciate Bob for sitting in for me for a couple of weeks while I was away tending to some business. And it's good. We got a lot going on today, a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah, that we do.
Friends from Arlinghouse are going to be in later on.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, talking about Arlinghouse Heating and Air, have you fired up the furnace yet?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm just curious.
And did the right thing, pulled the filter out, changed the filter, but we've also had a fire in the fireplace for just about every day.
Mm-hmm.
When it's down to, maybe 55, Lisa builds a fire.
I know she does. We've only, we did turn the furnace on once, like you. I replaced the filter the other day. What's nice, too, is the thermostat will always remind you. Now, I only have to change mine every 3 months.
Right.
So it's a quarterly deal. And change the batteries and the thermostat as well. It's almost like that thing tells you what you need to do every time you walk past it.
Does it?
It doesn't literally say that, but this little red light comes on.
And when you walk past it this week, did it say quit eating the Snickers?
No, maybe it should have, but we did. Tina turned the furnace on, it was a couple of nights ago.
Yeah.
When did it get down to the upper 30s? And, you know, talking about the upper 30s, we've yet to have a frost.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, if you remember.
I did.
Well, we did, because you always, you mentioned you want that first frost or two so you can get over your allergies.
That's exactly
which
right.
Which it sounds like I am always stopped up, but nothing I can do about that. However, there's a customer. She comes into the shop often, and we were discussing, that first frost. And she said that it's not supposed to happen until the first full moon of November.
Wow.
Now, we're pushing the envelope now.
Yeah, yeah.
It that might come to fruition. I don't know.
Sure. And, of course, hard to believe, just a couple of days away from November. And doesn't the time change this weekend?
No, the 6th. The 6th. November 6th.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll keep you in the loop. I'll keep you on time.
Well, that's awfully nice of you.
Yeah, thank you.
I want to remind you to take the time to jump on to our Facebook page while it was gone. Tony and John and Bob Bard have posted an awful lot of pictures and information, and I've been trying to play catch up and view some of those things. And you had another guest on last week. I saw a picture of. Who was that?
Wayne Stevens. Yeah, from W. Stevens Kitchen Cabinetry and Design. That was a really good interview there.
Yeah.
He obviously somebody very passionate about what he does, his business, and, designing kitchens. And that was really interesting. He almost made me feel as if I'm ready to start over and do it again.
You just did that.
I know I did.
Tina will not let you do that.
I know that.
But you feel moved.
He was so enthusiastic about what it is that he does.
Yeah,
he does it well. Great reputation, by the way. And when I was visiting with Wayne, it was really neat. I almost felt as if I'd like to do this again.
Sure.
When you hindsight's always 20/20.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, if I were to do this again, what would I do differently?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's where that's coming from.
Yeah, I kind of have the same feeling at times. Once I complete a project, I always go back and go, golly, I wish I'd have fixed this or changed that or maybe moved that. But,
Well, we were talking about, underlighting, the kitchen, uh-huh. the cabinetry. And talking about when you plan things out. Now, I have already ran the wire for all of that.
Right.
So it's sitting behind the walls and it's all set up. It's just me getting the kitchen lights and connecting everything. But do you ever think about stuff like that?
Oh, sure.
When you're in the middle of a project, hey, what might I want to do down the road, maybe next year or 2 years from now?
Yeah. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. And speaking of our guest from last week, if you missed something, you can always go back and check it out, listen to our podcast. But make certain that you're one of our friends on Facebook. And when we come back, we got a couple of things we're going to be talking about. How to get rid of some of those waste items or, old paint and that kind of things. We're going to cover that and also talk about what's bugging you in the next half hour. So in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, we need to pause. We'll be right back.
You liked that, didn't you?
I did. It's good to be back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we mentioned this a few minutes ago, and you brought in a flyer. We're going to scan this or get the information.
I can do that.
On our Facebook page. But a lot of times you have some household waste, some leftover paint, some old oil. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, do you open up your mail when it comes in from SD1? That's the sanitation district number one over in northern Kentucky.
If it's cleverly designed as a bill, I probably don't.
Lisa does, right? Yeah. Got it. So, well, anyway, this came in the mail the other day, and I thought, how important that this really is. And this is a subject matter that we don't talk a lot about, but you need to save this date. And that date is Saturday, November 5th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the UC Health Stadium. That's the home of the Florence Freedom. That's out in Florence.
Yeah.
You can bring in your household waste items. This is free. There's no charge for this.
Okay.
And this is what's really important. How many times you have, old gallon paint cans with paint in it, stuff like that. You can bring in aerosol cans, antifreeze, oil, paint, pesticides, propane tanks.
Mm-hmm.
What a way to get rid of some of those things and do it in a safe fashion. So save that date. That's really important. So that's, again, November 5th, Saturday. This is for Northern Kentucky, and it's SD1's Save the Date, Free Up Your Household from Waste collection event.
I like that.
It's very important.
Yeah, because we don't want that stuff getting into the environment or into the watershed areas, and this is the good, safe way to do that.
Right.
Say, you know, bring it to them. Let them dispose of it properly. Get it out of your house and help the environment.
And
so,
here's something else I need to point out as well. Appliances, fertilizer. Now, I don't know about this. I guess you can't take thermometers. Anything containing mercury, any of those types of devices, medications, and tires. Tires.
Yeah.
I'm talking about you guys over in Kentucky. Tires. I'm a catch heck for that. Will not be accepted. Check it out. Visit www.nkyhhw.org for more information.
Fantastic.
And we'll post that.
Yep.
But I think that's a great way to get rid of things. You know, don't be the guy that changes the oil in your car and you take it around there behind the shed and just pour it into the into the soil. That's not cool. You're laughing. Sounds like something you've done.
No, honestly,
have you ever done it?
I've never done it. But
Ernie, you can't look me in the eye and tell me that.
Well, no, I can because I'm not an oil change guy.
You can't get under the car.
No, I'm not a mechanic. And I'll share this story with you. And I know my brother Cliff and some of my friends are going to be laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Right when I was first beginning to drive, my sister had a brand new Nova. And she was going to let me drive it, and I wanted to go out and, you know, act like I was a mechanic and check the oil and stuff. And so I thought, oh, okay, it was a straight six. It looks like it might need a little oil, or maybe it might have been water. I'm not really sure. But I went around the house, drug the hose out, opened up what I thought was the radiator cap, put the hose in, turned the hose on, and let it fill up. And then my dad came out, had a little salty language, asked me what I thought I was doing, and I said, I'm putting some water in the radiator. And I filled the crankcase full of water.
You're killing me. And they trust you with the V105 vehicles here? That's my question.
Yeah, that's a true story.
How old were you?
I'm probably 15 or about 16, I guess, because I was just driving. You know, just getting started driving. And so the dad, ER, was not happy. He had, of course, drained the oil and drained the crankcase. And then,
did anything happen? I mean, were there any repercussions as a result of
doing that?
I mean, the motor continued to run?
Oh, yeah. Once he drained it and you know, let it dry and then put the oil back in it. But, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's why I don't really do that mechanical work.
You're killing me. Yeah. That's it. That's a first for me. I don't think I've ever heard you tell that story.
Usually the first call is up the Swarties Marathon up there on Buttermilk Pike and drop it off and wait for them to call back. That's the extent of my mechanical experience.
But anyway, it's a great event that's coming up here on the 5th of November. Make sure if you have some items you want to get rid of, definitely partake in that and take those items out to the UC Health Stadium. That's so important. That's where the Florence Freedom baseball team plays. And to get rid of some batteries and all that old stuff, what a great way to do it without polluting the environment.
Oh, yeah.
Or sending that stuff to the landfills. We don't want to do that.
Very good idea.
And I'm glad that you've never poured oil into the soil behind the shed.
Never. And coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to talk about what's bugging you because the weather has changed a little bit. Mm-hmm. And at 6:30, we're going to revisit a conversation Tony had with the guest from
W. Stevens Kitchen Cabinetry and Design, Wayne Stevens. You know, it was a great interview and definitely worth playing once again for those that didn't catch that. But good information there.
We'll be right back. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment. Welcome back. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. It is Halloween weekend, and all the trick-or-treaters will be out on Monday, and we've got a few treats for you for ourselves, I guess I should say, for you. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk with friends from Arling House, and we're also going to revisit a conversation Tony had last week while I was gone. But what's bugging you? Weather is beginning to change, and everything that lived outside is trying to get inside.
That's happening, that's for sure. You know, the other day, I was looking at my golf clubs in the garage, and what's crawling on it but a stink bug, you know?
I have seen a couple of those.
Oh, my gosh. You know, so those guys are going to want to, they're trying to make their way inside, you know, as we get into the fall months, deeper into the fall months. The Asian lady beetles, too.
Yeah.
Those guys, they're trying to make their way in as well. And all of a sudden, you know, you're in the shower and you look out the window and there's all these little beetles just walking around the edge of the window looking at you.
Yeah.
It's like, where'd you guys come from? It's amazing how they can get into the house.
Yeah.
But they do. They manage. However, what can you do about it, right?
What can you do about it?
What can you do? Well, you can spray some products, you know, around the foundation of your home, around the windows, around the doors, around your garage door. And one of my favorites is 38 Plus. That's a high yield product. It has 38% permethrin in it, and it does a wonderful job. It works well on spiders too.
Does it really?
Yes, it does.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you can spray around the outside of the home. Now, do not use this product indoors. It's not meant for inside.
Right.
But we can kind of, you know, deter and keep some of those guys from getting in around, you know, our windows, our doors, and so forth. And you can also just take notice, you know, are there some areas that need to be caulked? You know, it's that time of year. You can seal up some of those cracks, some of those entry points around the house, and keep out critters and insects and so forth as they try to make their way inside and, you know, go through the winter months nice and cozy with you. So, but the beauty of the stink bug issue is this, although they're kind of a nuisance, you know, they don't carry diseases. They don't really bite. So that's a plus.
And
but
what about
some people just don't like bugs?
And a lot of our listeners have pets. Will this be something that they should be concerned about?
Well, allow things outside to dry thoroughly before your pets go outside.
Okay.
And you know what you're doing. You're spraying the lower portion of the foundation. So really, your pets shouldn't be climbing on the foundation or the brick or the side of the house. So that's what we're really spraying.
Right.
But, you know, those entry points as well. But allow those areas to dry before you allow your pets outside.
Mm-hmm.
Always, it's always something that you need to be aware of.
You know, with that in mind, a lot of people, even though we haven't had a hard frost or really a first frost, a lot of people are beginning to look at bringing their plants, their outside plants, inside. Touch briefly on a couple of things that they need to make sure that they do. Inspect them.
Hopefully you've already started to do this. You know, a great thing to do before you bring your plants indoors is definitely spray them. Now, you can use a couple different items. One could be, you know, just an insecticidal soap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just depends on, you know, inspect your plants. Look underneath the foliage. Look on the stems. Make sure there isn't any evidence of, like, aphids. Mealybug, scale in particular.
Uh-huh.
I've seen some scale recently. You know, people were bringing in plants indoors, and scale is like real little raised bumps that you may see on leaves, and you also may see on the stems. Another telltale sign that you might have some insect issues with some of your plants, pay attention to, like, it almost looks like a tacky, sticky substance that's on the leaf. Those are the secretions from the insects. And a lot of times, because that's a sweet kind of a dew that the insects excrete, ants like to gravitate towards that. So pay attention to those little signs. You know, those are indicators that there's some insect activity.
Yeah, yeah.
Another product that I really like to use a lot is from Bonide. It is a systemic granular product that you sprinkle onto the soil surface of your pots, you know, where your plants are planted in. And as you water, it rains, it slowly gets into the soil, it makes its way into the plant via the root structure, and protects it for up to 3 months.
Nice.
So that's another way to protect your plants as well. So if you haven't already brought your plants in, you need to start really paying attention and set things up to do so. And if I want to say this too, I've run into this myself as a problem in the past. We have large ceramic pots. Get somebody to help you move those. Don't try and wrestle those by yourself. You may go down in the back really quick, and we all know what that's like.
Yeah.
So it's always worth waiting for somebody to come over and give you a hand moving some of those items inside.
I gotcha. You know, that's very important, because it was this time last year I missed a couple of weeks of work because of a back injury, splitting some firewood and stuff. thinking I was 30.
Well, Paul Bunyan. Yeah, it's when you're working on your Paul Bunyan outfit for Halloween. That's what it was.
749-B105, in and around the house. Plenty of ways to stay connected with us. Make sure you jump on our Facebook page. It's a great way to follow and also a great way to post some pictures, post some questions. We get you with that. And you can always email us in and around the house at B105.com. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be having a revisiting an interview that Tony had last week while I was gone. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back.
Good morning. Welcome back to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and gardening guys. And our special guest this morning is Wayne Stevens. He's the owner of the new kitchen and cabinetry design store called W. Stevens Cabinetry and Design up in Fort Mitchell. And a wonderful place. You need to stop by there, especially if you have a kitchen project that you're thinking about doing. And before we went into the break, we were just discussing some of the things that they do. And I wanted to get honing in on some trends because, you know, there's a lot of different things going on in with kitchen designs. And I, for one, when Tina and I were working on our kitchen, we stayed with the white theme. And I know there's a lot of painted themes or colors that you were just talking about. What's going on? What are people leaning towards?
Well, right now, we see some trends that are emerging that are really, really interesting. We get reports from our manufacturers on what percentage of products we were doing, and we're like 65% painted finishes right now. Mm-hmm. Painted finishes are so hot. We used to do a lot of paint with glaze on it, or we'd do wood with glaze. Now we're seeing just a strong presence of folks will do kitchens in two tones. You know, the perimeter area of the kitchen along the walls will be a white or an off-white or maybe a light gray. The grays are just off the hook right now.
Right.
And then in the island areas or secondary areas, we'll see a darker color. We'll see a stone finish, which is kind of like a gray but stained so you can see a lot of the wood grain in it.
Mm-hmm.
More rustic look, more furniture appeal in an island or something like that. And then if we don't do a stone, we'll see a dark cherry or something just as a strong, rich accent playing off of the beauty of the painted finish, the smooth painted finish on a more simple door we see a lot of times, and that's really just given a strong contrast. And in more uniform countertops, seeing a trend toward lighter countertops with the lighter cabinetry to create a more free feeling, you know, happy area, and then dark just kind of on the island area.
You know, speaking of countertops, there's a number of different types of countertops that you can choose from or select from. And boy, going back to the old days when it was like the old laminate, you know, you couldn't tear a laminate counter up hardly. It took a while. And then, you know, all of a sudden, Corian was the thing. Now, granite, Cambria. Take us into that world or that way of thinking. What do we need to pay attention to when it comes to countertops? Because that's not a cheap venture.
No, it isn't. And wow, have they changed. You are so right. 30 years ago, when I started doing this kind of work, I just kind of told how old I am. You know, it was laminate. And then it was Corian, like you just said. We did so much Corian. And now, those things we do very rare. Now it's the stone tops. But with the new technology, with CNC water jets, it's how we cut everything in laser templating technology, we can fit, you know, a stone countertop, you know, in a circle. We can make it any kind of shape, and it fits. We can cut it around rock, which in our showroom, there's a great display of that. Our countertop business has... It's one of the biggest growing areas that we have. And the big thing about this right now is that, you know, we're seeing quartz and granite. We're doing probably about 60% granite and 40% quartz. And the differences in those products are they're not that much. Granite, you see such beautiful movement, and no two stones are alike. You have to go over to our stone yard, and you have to pick the slab, and it's a fun trip. You go over, and you pick the rock that you want. There's no other rock in the world like it that you want to put in your house.
I like it.
Rock. It's just a big rock. You're picking a rock, and they come. They're, you know, they're a little over 9 feet long and a little over 5 feet wide, and you just pick the rocks that you want, and we cut them and make them fit in your home. And then... You know, it's that motion that people want. And then you have the quartz countertops. Now, quartz is a great product. It's so super strong. And then it's particulated, so it is ground up and re-poured. So it's all uniform, and all the pieces look virtually the same. And it's still a stone finish, and the finish is just a little bit duller than the granite top. Some people like that more smooth, dull finish than that real shiny finish of granite. Both are incredibly durable. Our granite tops have what is called Everseal on them, so you don't have to seal them all the time like the old granite. So they're both very, very durable. I would say quartz is just a little bit more durable. Quartz is probably, you know, a hair more expensive than the, you know, baseline granites. And then you have the more fancy the granite, the more expensive it can get. And then we have a countertop called Cambria. Cambria is a well-marketed product made in the United States. And it is our most expensive countertop, but it is one of our more attractive countertops that we have. But we our claim to fame on that is we just have something for everybody. And we can take a countertops, you know, from start to finish. We can have them, the old ones taken out, the new ones installed. Mm-hmm. Completely finished job for you. You know, one-stop shop when it comes to tops. And we have so much to offer. And a lot of folks come in to see us. We probably get two or three a week where they're just replacing their countertops. And it's a way to give your kitchen a quick and doesn't, you know, put you out of your kitchen more than just a couple of days, and you get a really great new look for not spending much money or not a lot of out of your time.
Now, is any one of these better than the other? Like you were talking about strength and durability. Can you put a hot pot on one and not the other? Are there things you need to worry about? Do you need to, what's the maintenance like for some of these various tops?
Yes, like if you remember the old laminate and the coring, if you put something hot on them, they would blister and defect, and you couldn't really fix them. And the Corian, you could fix it, but you had to basically cut the top out and put a new piece in. It was a big process. Now, quartz and granite, you can take a boiling pot and set it right on either of those. If you take a broiler out of your oven at like 450 degrees, that's probably a little too hot. It won't hurt the product, but it can kind of mess up the finish. So we always recommend if you're taking something out of your oven, you know, set it on a trivet or a hot pot. But I know a lot of times, even in my own home, that happens, and it's never hurt it. But we always recommend that you don't do that just to be safe, because those products can be expensive, and they are an investment. So you don't want to take a chance on messing up your rock that's in your house, because, you know, if you tear your rock up, it's hard to fix.
Right.
So with that in mind, we always recommend that they don't do that. As far as maintenance on quartz, there is zero maintenance. You just can't really hurt it or tear it up. On granite, the new products that we have, they have Everseal on them. You don't have to do anything on them. But then I always tell people, I said, you know, just to be safe, maybe in 5 or 6 years, you know, spray on a little sealer around your sink and cooking area and wipe it off. And it only takes about 15 minutes. And the big thing with us is I've been in business for so long. I've been doing this work. People come back to me every week that I worked for 20 years ago, and they may need a hinge or a door or something like that. So they know me. People stop me in restaurants and everything and need this little part or that little part. So they're going to come back looking for me personally if something doesn't go just right. So that's why I always try to tell people everything I know, like, you know, even though you're not supposed to seal it, maybe in 5 or 6 years, put a little sealer on anyway. And that just, you know, helps that product last longer and keeps them from coming and making me do more work.
Now, see, I just did a kitchen a couple of years ago, and you're making me want to do it again.
Exactly.
I mean, you're drawing me in.
Yeah.
Right. You really are. That's awesome. You know, something else I want to ask you, I noticed, are we seeing a lot of the farm sinks?
Yes.
Do you think that's just a fad? Is it a trend? I mean, will it be here for a while? What do you think?
Well, it kind of goes along the same way was when white painted kitchens came out. We had the thermofoil, the plastic, and that kind of went away. And then we had the white paint, and that everybody thought that was just a trend. Well, it's been around for 20 years, and it is stronger than ever. The farm sinks, that is a great look. And, you know, you can get them in stainless steel. You can get them in hammered copper. You can get them in fire clay, and they're just beautiful. And it's just an incredible look. I personally love that look. We have them in our showroom.
Right.
And you know, I don't think that that is a fad that's going to go away. It's, I think it's a design trend, mm-hmm. just like different styles of architecture.
Right.
And if you love it, it's going to be great. You know, 20 years from now, and if you don't like it, we can do regular sync. But we see that, and we tell people all the time, you know, we're working for you. We're not working for us. Whatever you want to do, as long as we can engineering-wise make it work, mm-hmm. we'll do whatever you want. We do tell folks all the time, you know, we want, when people come into your house after we do your job, we want it to make like, we want it to look like that this has been the kitchen since the home was built.
Right.
You just took really, really good care of it, and it just happens to be in perfect style.
I love it. You know, there's just so much to choose from and think about when you're into the whole process of remodeling your kitchen or new home construction. And for a homeowner, you know, there's some, it can be a little complicated. And you know what? You've already relaxed me thinking about you. I mean, you like what you do. It's obvious.
I love it.
And very knowledgeable. And now I'm kind of like, boy, I wish I didn't try to tackle that all alone. Where I had gone to somebody like you and said, hey, help me out here a little bit. But you know, something else that I wanted to ask you about real quick is the hood range.
Uh-huh.
I had... that was an area that I had struggled because my wife was trying to get one that was shorter versus the right height, and I know what she was trying to do. Had to get a second one just so I could get it out and vent it.
Right, right. The hood application or the coping application in many designs, that is the architectural feature that defines the kitchen. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, you know, people come in and they want to do lots and lots of different things, and it costs a lot. And sometimes you can get the most bang for your buck if you put that one just drop-dead gorgeous piece, you know, and you make that the cooking application with your cooktop and mm-hmm. your stove and your hood. And years ago, a friend of mine called it a cooking theater, and I laughed about that but people really do that. And, you know, you can get a beautiful tile backsplash, and you can get a wood hood, you can get a metal hood, but that can truly be the focal point. And when it comes to ventilation is an important thing. You want to always make sure that you have enough, you know, drawing power from the ventilator, enough mm-hmm. CFMs mm-hmm. per minute based on how many BTUs that your cooktop puts out. An important thing is you have to get it at the right height. You have to try to keep that the draw 30 inches off the cooktop if you can.
Right.
And then one real important thing is a lot of times when you hear a hood running and it's loud, okay, and the hoods can be expensive, and you know, if you get like a Venta hood, you know, they're very expensive, but those are just the Cadillac of hoods, and we do a fair amount of those. Mm-hmm. I always tell folks, you know, you can spend anything you want, but a ventilator is important. And we want to take that vent pipe, like Tony was just mentioning, you know, you had to put extra elbows and everything. Every time you put an elbow, you cut down your drawing power. One thing you want to do is the noise you hear from a hood a lot of times is not the motor from the hood, it's the back pressure. So if you vent that hood up as far as you can before you put the first elbow in, you will reduce the noise incredibly. But that look of that hood, that is something we work on all the time just to give
it's a focal point. There's no doubt about it. Well, hold on to that thought, and when we come back out of the break, we're going to go and talk with Tess up in Hillsborough. Has a question about countertops. Okay. And if you have any other questions, feel free to give us a call. We have Wayne Stevens with us here this morning from W. Stevens Kitchen Cabinetry and Design. And if you have a question, give us a call, 749-B105. We'll be right back.
Sweet.
Snappy.
Petite.
Neither of the above. Welcome back. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Having a good time this morning. Great to be back after being gone for a couple of weeks. We have our friends from Arling House that will be joining us here at 8 o'clock because it is that part of the season where we need to make sure that your furnace is up and running and ready to go, and they've got some great advice for you. And we've been talking about getting some things into the house because of the cooler temperatures, but we also don't want to ignore the lawn and the little decorative trees or ornamental grasses that you might have, and we have to pay attention to those as well. And the colors have started to turn. It's just been absolutely
gorgeous.
Yeah,
they are starting to turn a little bit. I don't think we're going to see as much vibrant color this season like in seasons past. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of that has to do with moisture and so forth. Boy, there was a lot of stuff that happened this summer in regards to trees and shrubs. A lot of stress.
Yeah.
There really was. And you could see it was late summer going into the early part of the fall season where a lot of trees were just starting to, like, you know, show those signs of stress. And you're seeing some of the leaf scorch, and they were dropping leaves early versus turning color. And that's the beauty of some of the deciduous trees. They have the canny awareness of, hey, I know it's been tough on myself or what have you because of the environmental stress, you know, that going through the dry periods and so forth. They'll just drop their leaves, you know, to hold on. Unlike conifers, conifers will, you know, they can't drop their needles and hang on. But our deciduous trees can do that. But it just, I don't know if we're going to see a lot of that color or not. I'm seeing some, but, you know, obviously, time's going to tell all, you know, as we progress a little bit further into the fall season.
Is there any chance for us to look at some of the trees that, you know, a lot of people put out apples, pears, peach trees? Is there anything we need to pay attention to this time of the year for them? I know.
Yeah, well, one thing, and that would be if you were experiencing some disease issues. Those are the situations where the leaves that fall from your fruit trees, make sure that you discard those, rake all of those up and discard that stuff. Uh-huh. Throw it away. Do not put it into your compost pile. Get rid of those leaves because a lot of those pathogens, if you leave those leaves on the ground underneath those trees, especially if there were some disease things going on, you're going to be more than likely to see that the following season. Those pathogens will just harbor themselves underneath the tree. And when it rains next spring and you get those hard rains that just pelt the soil surface, it gets that spore moving upward.
Right.
Wind moves it around, and all of a sudden you're experiencing, you know, fire blight, apple scab, all those good things. So, you know, Mother Nature, a lot of weird things happen, you know, and so it's just getting those things up. That's practicing good sanitary, you know, gardening,
right.
You know, just cleaning things up, which a lot of people should be doing, especially around your vegetable gardens, your right. tomato plants. Get that stuff up. If you've been experiencing diseases with your tomato plants, rest assured, you will see those again next year if you don't clean things up.
Sure.
You know, you're helping to reduce those issues.
So rake everything back. Is there a point where you trim back any of those plants in the, you know, your tomato plants or anything
like
that?
You pull them. You're not going to trim those back.
Right.
Yeah. You're going to pull those, get rid of those, discard that stuff, your cucumber plants, your green, all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, clean things
out.
And, you know, you're in addition to that, Ernie, you will save yourself a lot of time, you know, next spring. You can, you know, the beds are ready. You've put them to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Just go for it. You know, something else that I like to do in my garden beds, you know, I like to take maybe like compost manure after I clean things up and just kind of layer it on the top of the surface and just allow the moisture as we go through the winter months just to break down all those nutrients and get all that good stuff back into the soil.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a huge benefit as well. I also want to encourage some people to think about composting if you don't do that already as you go into the fall season. You can still, you know, take those leaves, shred those leaves up, put them in your compost bin. Other than those leaves that I just said a moment ago that were, you know, plagued with disease issues, you don't want to do that. We still have a lot of time ahead of us as far as mowing our lawns. It doesn't hurt sometimes to put the old grass catcher bag on there, catch some of those clippings, and put them into your compost bin. Now, we talk a lot about when we mow, we wanted to recycle those grass clippings back into the lawn. We always want to do that, if at all possible. But sometimes I like to catch those clippings, too. Put them in the compost bin. So those are some of the things that homeowners can do this time of year. So there's a lot of things we need to start doing instead of putting that off until the spring season. You had mentioned something about the ornamental grasses. A lot of times people want to cut back the ornamental grasses a little prematurely. I don't like to do that. However you can, but I like to leave them intact. I think it creates some winter interest in the garden as we go through the winter months. And then I like to cut those back late February, early March.
Gotcha. 749 V105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We were talking a little bit about a couple of things we want you to do around your yard and landscape beds. Tony mentioned the compost bin. We've got a couple of other questions about that I want to ask him when we come back. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Got a lot going on, a lot of ground to cover today. And also have our friends from Arling House going to be coming in a little bit later on to join us. And we were talking about a couple of things that you need to check out now that we're about ready to go into November. And Tony mentioned about the compost piles or compost bins. Should you turn those over before you add new material at this point? You know,
not necessarily. You know, at this point in time, things are starting to cool down. You know, rotating, turning the compost bin is very beneficial. But what you want it to do as well is still heat up and break down on the inside.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't see there is a special compost thermometer that you can purchase. It's about 2 feet in length. And you can just stick that right into your pile and get that internal temperature. It's all about the temperature with the compost piles. As that heats up, boy, it just does a wonderful job. Great stuff to use, too, in the spring months, fall months, whenever you're dividing perennials and so forth or planting new things. Just going down to the compost bin and having the ability just to pick up that black gold. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. So beneficial to use.
Yeah.
And composting, you know, when you do that and you add your compost, especially to, you know, the clay soils that we have.
Right.
It just really enhances and makes the clay better. And, you know, we say this all the time, too. We all know that we have a lot of clay here in the tri-state area. And think about this. Clay is one of the components of soil, sand, silt, and clay. Now, if we lived in Florida, like they have all sand, you wish like heck if you were in Florida, you had a little bit of clay.
Oh, yeah.
You know, clay helps hold the texture of the soil together. You know, it keeps our big trees in place
right.
to a degree,
right.
Holds moisture, holds nutrients. So it's really not bad, but too much of it, we just need to make it better.
Gotcha.
So always just keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. You know, when one of the things that we love about our backyard, we have a burning bush that my mother gave me as a housewarming gift 30 years ago when I moved into that house.
Mm-hmm.
And it is gorgeous. Lisa, a few years ago, trimmed it back, and it really did the bush some good, because now it's gigantic. And ours is starting to change a little bit, but there are some people who have burning bushes that haven't rolled over yet or haven't changed colors yet. What's going on with that?
Well, a lot of times that has to do with a couple of things. One is, most importantly, it's sun. A lot of times when you see the euonymus, the burning bush, where you don't really get that nice vibrant red color in the fall,
right.
Pay attention. Those that you see that are that beautiful, just that bright burning red, they're out in the sun. Those that get a little bit more shade don't they typically do not give you that kind of color burst.
Right.
So a lot of it has to do with the amount of sun that the shrub is getting. Also, you know, water comes into play to a degree. And I think that comes into play in such a way that, sometimes you ever see where the burning bush will just turn red real quick and start dropping before it completely turns red?
Yeah.
I think a lot of that has to do with some moisture and some stress throughout the season. So, but most importantly, it's sun. And secondly, you know, adequate moisture is so important as well.
I gotcha.
Yeah. So it all comes into play. And speaking of moisture, right now, you know, we've had a little bit of rain off and on. It was, a week or so ago? You were off. We had those torrential downpours.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's all or none. It came so quickly, a lot of water at one time. Still not enough to really soak into the ground because it's so quick. You know, some goes into the ground and most of it runs off and goes to the streams.
Gotcha.
Going into the winter months, I can't emphasize this enough to all the homeowners who have evergreens especially. Make sure they get adequate moisture as we go through the latter part of fall. Because as we get into the winter months, the winter winds will dry out those conifers and evergreens like nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you start seeing winter damage as we warm up in the next, the upcoming spring season.
Mm-hmm. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. You can stay in touch with us by jumping onto our Facebook page or email us in and around the house at B105.com. And we do have, I believe, do we not, John, that information about the STD?
Sanitation District number 1 over in Northern Kentucky. You did post that on our Facebook page. Looks really good. A lot of information on there. Plus, it's very legible. It's legible in such a way you can read all the things that you can take in and just dispose of.
So let's just share that information one more time for those who were just now joining us this morning, getting up and having a little coffee. It's a great day for you to get all of that home waste material, hazardous waste material, and take it and drop it off. Tell me about that.
Well, we'll talk about it next Friday, too, or Saturday.
Uh-huh. Right.
Because this event, you know, remember this date, mark it down on your calendar. It's a way of for you to get rid of your household waste items. And it will occur, it will happen next Saturday, November 5th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the UC Health Stadium. That is the stadium out in Florence, home of the Florence Freedom baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
And just to give you an idea, some of the items that you can get rid of: antifreeze, aerosol cans, paint, 10-can limit, Ernie, just so you know.
10-can.
10-can.
Okay.
You know, getting rid of paint, it can be a pain in the butt. So this is a way for you to get rid of some paint.
Right.
Pesticides, you know, there's a limit there. Propane tanks, you know, you have some of those old propane tanks that are outdated. And look at the date on those propane tanks. That's important, okay? You don't want to be using one that's outdated 10 years ago. And I bet you there are a lot of people that are. Safety first when it comes to stuff like that.
Sure.
Light bulbs, oil, ink cartridges, toners, printers, corrosive, flammables, fuel, kerosene. Those are things that you can take to this event. Again, it is next Saturday, November 5th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Florence Freedom Baseball Center.
What about old TVs and stuff like that? Are you able to take some of those? Because you've seen those. Remember those gigantic rear projection televisions before smaller digital ones became available? A lot of times you'll see those that are enormous. And
television sets are acceptable. Uh-huh. Yes.
Oh,
so to
okay.
answer your question.
I happened to be driving down to Bolin's the other day, and I just happened to look up, and there were three or four guys trying to lower one of those gigantic screens, rear projection screens, off of a balcony there in Fort Wright. And
really? You should have stopped and taken a photo of that.
It was hilarious. And I thought, you know, if it were me, I'd have put probably three or four drop cloths down and then just dropped it over the edge and picked it up. But you could tell they were probably going to set it to the curb and free to a good home, or, you know, still works, but they're just so heavy.
You know,
so
stuff like
so
that,
bulky.
A couple of beers and just let it drop.
Yeah. you're not wanting it. You wouldn't be lifting it over the edge. But it was pretty funny. But you can bring those and get rid of those, because all too often it's hard to find a way to dispose of those once they become outdated. And they may still work, and you can't bring yourself to send it,
right?
You know, to the trash. But there's a good way.
Oh, definitely. And I do want to point out a couple of items they will not accept. So don't waste your time taking appliances out there, fertilizer, medications too, and tires will not be accepted. So those items are out. Check out our Facebook page. All that information's on our Facebook page. But a wonderful event and a great way to get rid of some things that's been kind of hanging on in the basement, around your house, in the garage, all that good old stuff.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. Nothing but treats.
I like it.
At the In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Going to be a great day to get some stuff done in or around your house. And we have our friends from Arlinghouse coming up at 8 o'clock. Going to be joining us again. Always have wonderful information about how to be ready for the next or the changing of the seasons.
And it's all about heating and air conditioning with our good friends from Arlinghouse Heating and Air. And you're right. People are starting to get ready to turn those furnaces up, ramp them up. It's going to be getting cold before long. And you want to make sure that things are operating safely, efficiently, and some things that you're going to need to know before we go into the winter months.
I could not agree more.
Yes. You know, I love this time of year. And, you know, Halloween is Monday.
What are you going to be dressing up as?
You. I'm getting a couple big pillows, put one in the front, one in the back, and stuff some things in my jaw.
What in the back?
Well, you're pretty big all the way around. I'm going to beat Ernie Brown for Halloween.
That is hilarious.
Yes. What about you?
Well, I'm going to shave my head and...
Touché.
Try to grow a couple of inches... Actually, tonight, down at the Cincinnati Masonic Center is the Halloween Gala to benefit the Children's Dyslexia Center that we support down there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a pirate theme, so we're all dressing as pirates. And, you know, as Lisa said, because she was considering going for a little bit, but she has some other things she needs to take care of for Mammy and Pappy about. She goes, you know, that's all it's going to be is pirates and wenches. Down there, she had a great idea. She was going to try to find a parrot costume and just go as the one parrot that was going to be down there.
Yeah.
So I'll be the big, heavy set captain.
Pirate. You'll be the fat pirate.
Got it. Be.
You know, and speaking of the Masonic Temple, I want to say thank you for the invitation to the installation that took place the other night for your swearing in ceremony for your new position with the Masonic Lodge and Temple. And your friend, Mike, I don't remember Mike's last name.
Gardner.
Mm-hmm. Was so kind to take me around and show me the inside of the Masonic Temple. And I was really taken. A cool place.
Gorgeous building.
Incredible. And it just a number. And the amount of times I've driven past there and never had an inclination whatsoever, really what it looks like inside. A lot of history.
It's a beautiful building, and thank you for being there.
It really is. And there has to be something ghostly that happens in there. There's no doubt about it, because there's so much history, and it's been around since the 20s.
Mm-hmm. It started in
28. Have you ever experienced anything in there?
I have, and we'll share those with you later on. But there are some spirits wandering around there, especially tonight at the gala. It's going to be fun.
You know, I just like this time of year. And, you know, I don't know if, you know, I've encountered some strange things in the past, especially at the Florist and Garden Center, because it's been there since the late 1890s. And some weird things have happened there. And, you know, just I like those kind of haunted stories.
Oh, yeah.
Do you ever watch the television show Haunted?
Oh, my wife Lisa does all the time.
And all of a sudden, it's like, what was that?
Yeah, you never see anything on camera. But it's the spooky time of the year.
It is. That it is.
It's going to be a great day, though. Let me check that weather for you real quick. It's going to feel more like, you know, early September than late October. Partly sunny skies today, high close to 80, much the same for tomorrow. And then the 70s, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, just a beautiful fall day. That's why we're reminding you to get a chance and get out into the lawn. Now, tell me about, we're always talking about fertilization, and here we are about ready to go into November.
Yeah.
What's your advice for those who may not have heeded our advice earlier and didn't?
Well, there's, you know, the fall fertilization for our lawns is so important. It really is. It's the most important time of the year that you can fertilize your lawn. Secondly, it is the best time to get into the Fertiloom 3-step program if you're not in it. And it's been a really nice fall season thus far.
Uh-huh.
If you've yet to fertilize, you can do it any time up until the ground's frozen. You know, hopefully middle of November. Trying to get two fertilizations in right now at this point in time is very difficult, and I encourage you not to even try to do so, because it's very important that we get at least 6 weeks in between the two fertilizations.
Okay, gotcha.
At this point in time, that could be very difficult to do. So if you just get one application down, that beats none, zero. So get out to your local garden centers and nurseries. Pick up a bag of fertilizer, the Fertilume fertilizer, lawn food plus iron. And you'll be glad that you did that. If you've yet to do this or you've been wanting to do this, and in fact you do not have a spreader, ask us. We're willing to loan you one. And so many people have been into the garden center this fall, and they're disgusted with their lawn care companies.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. And I'm just like, take a breather there. Relax. You know, let's talk about some things. You know, it wasn't the best of seasons. You know, yeah. A lot of us had some issues with various things.
Right.
So in all defense of everybody involved, you know, the summer wasn't the kindest to us. And we also had a great deal of rain back there in July. So with that rain, you know, that sometimes causes some of the products that we use to wear thin.
Mm.
So things will sneak in on us, you know. So I just want to point that out. And also I want to point out, I'm often asked, if I don't want to go about the traditional way of fertilizing our lawn, what are some other alternatives? You do have a couple of options, and these alternatives are for, you know, people who have pets. You know, thinking about things that are pet-friendly, kid-friendly. And you can certainly fertilize with two other items if you don't want to use the traditional approach. Those two items are SPOMA does a really good fertilization program for the lawn that's very safe.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also use Milorganite on your lawn that's very safe. So both of those items are organic, and they're safe. They're pet-friendly and child-friendly. So that is another alternative approach to fertilizing your lawn.
So let me ask you about this, because, you know, I've got that Creeping Charlie issue. If I here's my thought is, I know you always say don't cut the grass 2 days before or 2 days after.
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to go ahead and clean up my lawn, maybe bag what's out there now because I do have some leaves down, wait a couple of days, then treat for the Creeping Charlie, or should I go ahead and get the first step down and then wait and try to battle that next year?
Now would be a good time to tackle it.
Okay.
Because going after Creeping Charlie, really two times throughout the course of the season are ideal points to do this. The first being in the spring season when it's in bloom or there shortly after it blooms. And secondly, in the fall season, and really going after it twice in the fall. And the temperatures have been in your favor, you know, since you just gave us that owl sleep forecast. The temperatures have really been in our favor, you know, up to this point in time.
Uh-huh.
And given that, it's giving us a little longer period to take care of some issues in the lawn, and one of those being Creeping Charlie, because in the fall season, think about this. Creeping Charlie is a perennial weed.
Okay.
It gives a lot of people a fit. So as those perennial weeds, as they're going into the latter part of the fall season, guess what it is that they're doing? They're starting to translocate a lot of their energy back down into the root system.
Mm-hmm.
So it can endure the winter months.
Gotcha.
The product's going to get into it better, more effectively, more efficiently. So you can still, at this point in time, use Fertilume's Weed-Free Zone, a great product. You can use it in cooler temperatures. That's why it's really good to use early in the spring, as you're battling some of those earlier weeds that are actively growing.
Gotcha.
And also later in the fall. So we've been having beautiful, the temperatures have been above normal, and take advantage of it. Those people who were late getting some seed down, with this warm up, and if it continues on into November, you're very fortunate and you're going to see some success. You know, Bob and I were talking a couple of weeks ago, like his grandfather would always say, I'm talking about Bob from Bard's Nursery. October 15th is really the cutoff. But everything from that point forward, it depends on what Mother Nature has to bring our way. It's all about temperature.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, okay. you just don't know. And, you know, there was somebody in the store the other day, I think they bought about 10 pounds of grass seed. And I always make it a point to go to the counter and say, hey, what do you have going on?
Yeah.
You know, tell me a little bit about it, because we are here at this point in time in the season.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to know what could lie ahead.
Right.
And, you know, if you've missed this opportunity to sow grass seed in the fall, the next best time to sow grass seed is winter seed, and that's usually in the middle part of February.
Gotcha.
And, you know, you're just going to have to approach it as such. That's all there is to it. And a lot of times we don't think about these things until we're right upon the season or that timeline is behind us. But that's part of it.
Yep.
You know, that's why we're here.
Yep. Very good information. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Got a lot of ground to cover. We need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. It's going to be a great day to get some stuff done in and around your house, partly to mostly sunny skies, high right around 80, and very little chance of any precipitation for the next several days. So get out and get some stuff done in your lawn. And Tony, you got a nice little event going on. You're going to be Johnny Appleseed, so to speak.
Well, I'm just want to make a little appearance and see what's going on. It's funny you say that. I was just approached a few weeks ago from some of you elementary school out there in Independence, and they're going to do a big tree planting today.
Uh-huh.
I've been working with Joe Chavez, and he's done a wonderful job, and this planting takes place today, which I want to take this and lead into the Taking Root Initiative. You know, that is to plant 2 million trees by the year 2020, and we're going to have to register these trees. I think they're going to plant about 24 trees today.
Right.
And it's an array of different varieties of trees. Diversity is so important, but the fall is the best time to plant a tree. It really is. So don't think that the season is over. Get out to your local garden centers and nurseries. There are some items on sale. Some of us still have some things we don't want to winter over, heal in, and we're willing to work with you just not to have to do all that stuff. But the fall is a great time to do it. And when you're at the garden centers and the nurseries this time of year, The real benefit is you get to see what these plants look like at this time of the season. You're looking for things that give you that fall color. Just for example, you know, we're talking about the oak leaf hydrangeas. You know, they're going to be turning that beautiful deep red wine color. So getting that opportunity to see what some of our shrubs and trees will give us color-wise this time of year is a huge benefit, because we're trying to get all these seasonal interests and different things out of what we're planting in and around our landscapes. Okay. And I'm going to stop out there at Summit View Elementary sometime mid-morning or early afternoon and see how those guys are coming along. But I love it when there's those types of initiatives that take place where you have these communities and municipalities and school systems all coming together and planting trees. Nothing better.
Nice.
I
appreciate your effort there. And it's always great to improve the environment wherever possible. Tony, we have our friend Carol from Villa Hills on the line, who's got a tulip bulb container planting question for you. Good morning, Carol. Thanks for the call.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I want to plant some tulip bulbs in a container.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I plant it in the container, do I leave the container outside or do I move it to the garage? If I move it to the garage, how often am I supposed to water it over the winter?
This is how I would approach it. And great question, by the way. You know, are you going to, and something else I want to ask you before I get into this, is your container of good size?
Well, I'm not sure. That was my other question. How big a container should I put it in? I do have some larger containers, very, uh-huh. You know, and then I've got some, I don't know, 8 or 10 inch pots.
Mm-hmm. You know, at least a 10 inch, 12 inch, 14 inch. But here's the problem too: the larger the pot, the little bit more difficult it becomes to moving those items around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just make sure you have somebody that can assist you with that. One thing with pots, if you're going to do tulips and or a combination of things, you know, what we call lasagna layering in these larger containers, that's why I was asking you what size pot. What you can do is go down like 8 inches in that pot, depending upon how big it is, and plant tulips, and then come up a few more inches and plant another layer of tulips, then come up near the top and plant crocus.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have a multitude of seasonal things, you know. You're going to have continuous color for a longer period of time.
All right.
Okay. Now, what I like to do in doing this with containers, and when I was a kid, we would leave them out in the back of the old greenhouse, and we would straw over all the bulbs that we would plant in containers and somewhat protect them during the winter months. I would leave your containers out until we get into maybe January, then bring them into the garage.
Okay.
Okay. And then you'll sparingly water them. You don't keep them overly wet. You know, the bulb will rot.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, put it near the garage door where it's up closer and it stays cooler. And then come springtime, take those pots out, get them in the sun as the things start to heat up. And the beauty of that is, too, they're going to warm up quicker than what's in the ground, and you're going to have a burst of color sooner. And so enjoyable. You know, plant spring color in the fall.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. I was just wasn't real sure how to do it if they weren't going to be in the ground, of how to cool them off and yet not have them freeze since they're above the ground.
Right.
So I wasn't sure.
Tulips will have to go through a 16-week cooling period minimum.
Okay.
So it's quite a bit of time. And believe it or not, when I do them in the coolers at work, they put on so much root development during the cool period, and that's where all that activity is taking place and when. And then you just get that burst of color. As soon as those temperatures warm up, there you are.
Okay.
Well, let us know what you do. All right, Carol?
All righty. Thanks.
Have a great weekend.
All righty. Bye.
749 B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Tony, we have Joe on the line when we come back from the break. He's from Lakeside Park, and he's got a spice blend question for you. We need to pause. We'll be right back.
Find out what's going on in and around the house with Tony and Ernie on our Facebook page. Call us at 749-B105.
It's supposed to mean like something evil's lurking in the dark. I got the moonlight. You see a sight that I almost got your heart.
Chew that up.
Welcome back. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie. You got some pretty good moves over there.
A little moonwalking, wasn't it?
Nice. Having a great time. Great to be back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Joe on the line from Lakeside Park and a spice blend.
Oh, Joe, good morning.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Doing all right. Yourself?
I'm all right. Did you get that blend I sent you?
I did, by the way, and I had put it on chicken, and it was awesome.
Was it?
Yes.
I'm glad to hear it, yeah.
Thank you.
Working hard.
And thank you for dropping that off, by the way. And what we're talking about, Joe's a customer at Jackson's, and he dropped off. He does a spice blend with hot peppers. And you can give us more information on that in just one second. But, Ernie, I'm telling you, if you like a little bit of a kick,
I do.
This will give it to you. And he also put some other little tidbits of flavor in it. And I think that last one, Joe, didn't you add a little bit of lime to it?
Add a little bit of lime and a little bit of strawberry.
Yeah, it was.
Along with garlic, you know, and it gives a nice little kick, but still keeps nice, smooth flavor, so you aren't overwhelmed by the heat.
No, I like hot things. Now, the next morning when I get up, my stomach's like kicking and growling, and it's like, why did I do that? You know, it's I can't take the heat like I used to, but I still will do my best to you know, enjoy those kind of things. The spicier it is, the better it is. How did you come about doing this? What peppers are you growing?
Let me see. From you, I got the cayenne peppers,
mm-hmm.
and I grow Carolina Reapers, and I grow habaneros. I grow ghost chilies and a number of different hot peppers, and some of them not as hot, you know, at least for myself or for you, like the jalapenos and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an overwhelming amount one year, so I dried them all out and heated everything and made them into a spice. And I took them to one of the events I go to around town and handed it off to my friends and said, "What do you guys think of this?" And they all tried it and they're like, "Hey, can I buy some from you? Can I order more?" And after that, I've had, over the past maybe 3 years, I've had probably a couple hundred people now ask me, "Hey, can I buy this from you? Can I try it?" You know, and I was like, "Do you have a name for it?" I was like, "I don't know. I guess Joe's Pepper Perfection." You know, I just laughing, and everybody's like, "That's it, that's it." You know, and so it started off small, and now I've got a couple hundred people now requesting.
It's gaining some notoriety, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
I like it. You know, one day we might see it on a spice rack. Is that where we're headed?
Hope, I'm hoping. I'm working on that right now.
There you go.
What kind of laws I have to go through and everything else to get it made, but I'm going to try to start making it.
Well, that sounds cool.
On a regular basis.
There you go.
I wanted to post some images of my product or anything. What do I put? In and around the house? Or
yeah.
Otherwise?
Yeah, just in and around the house on our Facebook page, and just put a way for some people to contact you. Don't put your phone number out there unless you're willing to a bunch of people call you at all hours of the day and night.
I don't want that. But yeah, it was just kind of a hobby, and now it's just grown, and people are like offering me land now to plant peppers and everything.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, thanks. You know, really, thanks for sharing that. And most definitely feel free to go out on our Facebook page and post some of that information and stir up some interest.
Okay. So I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I did. I do like that kind of stuff. You did. I'll have to give Ernie some to spike some of these. You can spike some of this chili cook-off.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden someone says, that's really hot. And whoever brought that chili in would say, I didn't make it that hot.
See, now you've given away my secret. Yeah, I was going to ask you for a little pinch of that to put my chili on Monday.
Well,
let me correct that. My wife Lisa's chili for Monday morning.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
Maybe I should stop down here Monday and just sample some of that stuff.
Yeah,
I know.
It
looks like it's going to be a fun event. I have to tell you a really quick story. I was out in Las Vegas one Super Bowl weekend. We were at this Mexican restaurant. And they had a wall of fame and a wall of shame, and it was based upon who could eat the hottest wings. And if you were to eat these wings, they would take your photograph and put it on either one, wall of fame or the wall of shame. If you didn't finish them, you were on the wall of shame.
Right.
Okay?
Gotcha.
And good old Kentucky boy that I am, those were the hottest wings I've ever had in my life.
So, and which one are you?
I'm on the Wall of Fame, and it says Tony from Kentucky.
Nice.
But I will tell you this. I wasn't right for 2 days. And they had me sign this paperwork, and I thought, you know what? I can eat a lot of hot stuff. And I was signing this paperwork, like, not to hold them liable.
Yeah.
Whoa. Friend of mine. And you know what?
Chicken butt.
I ate them in just a matter of minutes. I just went at them when I... that was a little sound effect.
Right.
A buddy of mine got me a glass of milk, and milk will take that heat off the tongue.
Nice.
But I'm telling you, I would never do it again, and I'm on the Wall of Fame.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for the call, and we will look forward to posting that information on our Facebook page and... And give me that sound effect one more time.
That was the wing, man.
Bones were flying.
Bones were flying. And when I bit into that first one, I knew I had my work cut out for me.
Yeah.
But I didn't back off.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we have our friends from Arling House and a couple of other things to cover before they get here. We need to pause. We'll be right back.
You all right, brother?
No, I'm not.
Feel the reefer.
Oh,
that's the Carolina reefer right there.
Whew.
He just had a little bit of Joe's hot stuff.
Yeah. Remember, remind me not to listen to your advice anymore, man. Oh, my mouth's on fire.
Is it still?
Yeah.
Is there milk in the refrigerator?
No, but there was a little piece of coconut cream cake or pie or whatever it is. I thought maybe that might be able to help out, but it's not. I'm going to have to hopefully I've got some soy or something in there.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Little mild.
Well, thanks for that little burst this morning.
Well, that's all right. He got Ernie had a little bit of that that hot pepper mix and got up immediately.
Oh.
Went to the cantina.
Oh, it lit me up. You probably aren't supposed to put that on your tongue.
You didn't sign any waivers, did you?
Well, welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Arling House coming in just a few minutes, and we're going to get you ready for the change of the season. I mean, after all, final weekend of October. Listen to John laughing. And Halloween is on Monday. I can't think right now. It's burning me up.
It's funny.
Halloween, maybe there's some candy around here somewhere, too. Halloween is coming up on Monday.
Yeah, and, it's coming up. A trick-or-treat is Monday, Ernie.
Oh.
You're all right. Take it. Take it like a man.
Yeah. What else is going on? What's going on down at Jackson's?
The holiday season's coming upon us. You know, we're still finishing up fall. We're still in the fall season, obviously, and we still have to go through Thanksgiving as well. So let's not forget about one of our favorite fall kind of get-togethers, and that's Thanksgiving. But we're working on Christmas already, and we're just getting ready to kick off our annual tree sale for artificial trees. So there's a lot going on, and we still have a great selection of bulbs. If you want to plant some spring color right now, we have a great selection of bulbs on hand. And just, you know, it's all seasonal for us from this point out. Are you you don't make it?
I don't know, man. it lit me up.
I'm sorry I enticed you.
You're not sorry at all.
Did I talk you into that?
All right.
You are struggling over there.
I am. I'm going to have to get up here in a few minutes when we do go into the break. And...
Well, I can take the show over from this point forward if you want to call it quits. Yeah,
put a little more of this on your tongue. So, thank you, Tony. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we are excited about the guys from Arling House coming in and talking a little bit about it. It's one of those things where you have to be ready. We try to give you a little warning and a little heads up every time the season rolls over and we don't want you to get caught. And, you know, it's one of those things where a lot of people be having house parties, guests, and all that stuff. And nothing worse than having your furnace go out when you've got all those people in your house. So we'll talk a little bit about that, a little bit about maintenance.
And, you know, something else I'm interested in, too, is I take it that Ryan's going to be with Brian.
I saw
Mama,
in the email,
Mama Bear's boy. Yeah. Is that what you?
Care Bear.
Care Bear. Thank you. Care Bears. Well, anyway, we didn't really get to discuss the... Our he did that environmental check for us the last time he was here.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, we didn't really hone in on that. But he had a device that you would leave on for a period of time, and it would calculate or check for all the particulates or maybe some of the pollutants that are in the air or in your office environment or your home environment. Mm-hmm. And that's very, very interesting because really, believe this or not, Ernie, in our homes, that's why it's important to have houseplants because they filtrate the air. All the materials that make up or what our carpets are comprised of, the sofas, the paint, the laminates, they're all made with products, you know, chemical types of products.
Right.
So having indoor plants helps filtrate that. But Arling House Heating and Air will do that for you. They'll give you a home quality air check.
That's
and
nice.
I can't remember what the results were, but we'll have to ask Ryan.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll share that with us too. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Those guys, Arling House coming up at 8 o'clock. We need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. I'm going to go get some milk. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And I'm going to make myself a note to bring somebody a half a gallon of milk on Monday. I finally could feel my tongue again. Tony had me taste Joe's ghost pepper mixture. Is that what that is?
It's this pepper mixture. It has a ghost pepper in it, cayenne, little Carolina Reaper.
And it will wake you up.
Did you taste the strawberry?
I didn't taste any strawberry at all, but it lit me up. But thank
I told you it was hot.
Yeah. But we have our friends from Arling House coming in just about 10 minutes. We're going to get you ready for them, and we'll talk a little bit about your furnace, about some maintenance things that you need to be taking care of, too. But also want to remind you that this is the final weekend of October, and as Tony mentioned, when we ask you to get the fertilizer down for your lawn, looking ahead into the next part of the spring, we try to get you at least 6 weeks between the
Two fall applications.
Two fall applications. And now that might be a little difficult.
I think it is for most if you've yet to fertilize. But still, it's better late than never. I can't emphasize that enough. So definitely take care of your lawn. Look after your lawn. A healthy lawn, a thick lawn, will do a majority of the work during the spring and summer months to keep weeds out. It really does. And then just that other little bit, 3%, 4%, 5% is up to you to help things, you know, move along. If something creeps in on your lawn, you spray it with something. And other than that, you'll have a beautiful lawn. You'll be the envy of the neighborhood.
Right. And there is nothing better than to have a good, healthy lawn. It helps fend off a lot of those weeds and stuff.
That it does, and diseases as well. Also, take it upon yourself. You might have to water a little bit, but, you know, fall aeration is very beneficial for the lawn. It opens it up. It allows oxygen to get down to the root structure of the turf, and very, very beneficial. As a matter of fact, too, we were talking just a moment ago about timing when it comes to grass seed. And there's a couple areas I want to sow some grass seed down in the backyard, which I did not get to. So another alternative to this is go over and see our good friends at Turpin Turf Farm. I did a couple weeks ago. I stopped over and picked up some sod. Beautiful stuff. They cut it fresh. It's right there. They load it for you. And if you put it down right away, you're going to have great, great, great success. And that's just another way to get, you know, get some of those areas that are a little rough repaired in a rather quick fashion. So see our good friends at Turpin Turf Farm.
So you picked it up and then brought it home. Then you had to dig up the area and put the new turf down. And how often do you have to water that to try to make sure that it gets?
Well, it varies. Now it's been cool, so you're not going to keep it overly saturated. You know, I'll water it every couple of days. You know, I don't like flood it out by any means.
Right.
And it's just an area that's near the edge, underneath side of my deck. That sometimes, you know, I don't get. My sprinkler heads don't quite get to that point, and every so often, I kind of have to repair a few spots, and that was the chosen method. I just used sod, and it was like instant. It looks great. Beautiful stuff. It was fresh, cut right there, and you got to see that turf down there. That's one big area. Everything near Turpin Farms is Turpin this, Turpin that, Turpin Lake.
Yeah.
You know. It's almost like Donald Trump, you know, Trump Tower, Trump play, but it's Turpin, Turpin, Turpin. I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm not trying to compare politics to gardening in any way, shape, or form, but everything, it's just a beautiful area. Mm-hmm. It really is. The turf is awesome. Turpin Farms, if you're looking for sod.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We talked a couple of times earlier, too, about household waste disposal opportunity you have coming up next Saturday, or is it next Sunday?
Next Saturday.
Next Saturday.
The 5th. And we'll bring it up next Saturday again.
Mm-hmm. And we have that posted on our Facebook page, so make sure that you get on there and get that information, because this is the perfect time to get rid of all that stuff that's just sort of sitting around in the shed and in your basement and in your garage.
Yeah, no cost to you. So it's a great way to get rid of some things that have been lingering in the shed or in the garage, in the basement. We're talking about like aerosol cans, batteries, paint, oil, you name it. Take it out there to the Florence Freedom Ballpark next Saturday, the 5th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And also, there was somebody that commented on our Facebook page, Ernie, Brian Gline. He said, if anyone has oil throughout the year, and I didn't know this, you can take it to any AutoZone, and they'll gladly accept it.
Nice.
So don't pour it in the soil, in the ground, behind the shed, or along the fence line.
Don't do it.
Do not pollute our soil and risk that stuff getting into the ground table water.
That's correct.
Very important. Mm-hmm. So be responsible. We need to be good stewards of the earth as best we can. Preserve it.
Uh-huh. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, coming up in just a few minutes. We'll have a couple of guys from Arling House. We have Ryan and Brian, I think, are going to be joining us. And we need to take a break for just a minute, and we'll be right back to get those settled in. Yes, it is. It is hot, hot, hot. So if Tony Works ever says, hey, you've got to try this, be very careful. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we're going to get the guys from Arling House settled in here for just a few minutes. But we're talking about a couple of things to prepare and get ready for at the end of the fall season and going into early winter. And one of them, of course, water features and anything like that. Got to take care of those fountains.
Oh, fountains, bird baths, even ponds at this point in time. You can buy a special netting, like a netting type of setup to put over your ponds to catch all the leaf debris and litter that starts to fall from our trees. If in fact, you know, you have trees around your water features,
right?
That saves you a lot of time and headaches trying to clean that stuff up. Also, you know, your bird baths. Keep this in mind, you know, a lot of us have concrete bird baths. We have the clay bisque and some of the nicer ceramic bird baths. Those you definitely don't want to leave outside because you risk those becoming damaged as we go through the freezing and thawing processes during the winter months. And prepare those, bring those in, turn them over, make sure that they're not holding water. Also, your fountains. You know, fountains aren't cheap, Ernie.
No.
They're kind of expensive, and you can probably attest to this with your, I always forget about that big elephant fountain.
The elephant fountain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It has a cracked bowl.
You don't want to do it two or three times, that's for sure.
No. So, and another thing that you can do for your fountains is drain the water, allow it to dry out thoroughly, and take a little, like a block of wood, a little 2x4, and just, you know, a small piece and put it underneath your pump. Mm-hmm. Just keep it up off of the bottom of the fountain bowl. And cover it. Before you cover it, though, excuse me, use some old towels and just leave those lie in the bowl, the main bowl, or if it's a two- or three-tiered fountain, you can do the other tiers. What that will do, those towels will catch some of that moisture as it builds up condensation underneath the fountain covers or the plastic that you cover it with.
Mm-hmm.
So it will save you some headaches because what happens, you leave those items out, and you may have done it before in the past with success. It will catch up with you. You'll risk a bowl cracking. You'll have to replace it or even the concrete spalling. So take care of those water features as we go into the latter part of the fall season.
Very good advice there. As opposed to when he said, put this on your tongue. The ghost pepper lit me up. Our guests have joined us. Welcome in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we have Brian and Ryan from Arling House. I always love having these guys in, a wealth of information, a couple of things to make sure that you're aware of to make your winter much more enjoyable and less costly. Morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Try this, the little thing that Tony has. Have them put some of that on their tongue.
I think I know better now. I mean,
I know better now.
You won't have to turn that furnace on. It'll stay hot all winter.
Woo, boy, it was something else.
Well, you have to put it on food, Ernie, and prep the meal, and it cooks down a little bit and gives it that kick.
That'd have been wonderful information about 25 minutes ago.
But I told you it was hot.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the show. And again, it's a part of the season where a lot of people are getting making the transition from air conditioning. They probably enjoyed a couple of days without anything running, but now they've got to, of course, get ready for winter.
Still running air conditioning calls.
Are you ready?
Yes, we are.
No kidding. Yeah,
they're coming in.
And we will be on Halloween, too. It's going to be close to 80.
Yeah, close to 80. Yeah. So I guess there are some people that are still running their AC. You would think that they just have the windows open and enjoying the time.
A lot of people just go from heat to cool and then cool to heat.
Flip the switch and let her go.
Yep.
What about winterizing air conditioners? I guess if they're still running, you can't do that right now.
No, not really a whole lot. You know, with the outdoor unit, it is made to be outside. We get that question quite a bit.
Yeah.
Do I need to cover the outdoor unit? You know, like I said, it's made to be out there. If you do put a cover on it, those covers will actually trap moisture and promote rust. So
don't cover
it.
I like that. You know, a friend of mine wants me to ask you this question. Their outside unit doesn't sit level. It's kind of settled. Is that good or bad?
You know,
or does it matter?
It's honestly, it depends on how far it's leaning. But, you know, just a little bit off, if it doesn't match the brick line and it kind of looks like it's off-center just a tad bit, not a huge deal. on that. There is some settling that occurs with air conditioners. So, but if it goes too far, you know, I guess you risk it falling over at that point. So if it looks like it's about on the ground, you know, there could be a problem.
Well,
with
it looks
that.
Like the Leaning Tower at Pisa, to be quite honest with you. But is it like, does it have a negative effect on the bearings or anything with the fan as it turns because it's not level? Or is,
depending on
that's
how
what
far,
I was thinking.
You know, depending on yeah. how far it goes. You know, yeah, it could throw something off at the fan. It can cause, you know, oil to the there's oil in the refrigerant, and so it can migrate to a certain area.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, ultimately, if it's just off a hair, it's really not that big of a deal.
It can start to kink a refrigerant line also if it starts to settle too much.
Yeah,
so definitely don't want that to happen.
I'll tell him he needs to fix it. So
we can just come out and take a look
like
at it.
It looks like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. I'm like, you know, I don't know if I can help you with that, but I'll ask the question.
The best way to answer that situation would just be to have one of our licensed techs come out and take a look at it.
Got it.
Yeah.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local Home and Garden guys. We have Brian and Ryan from Arling House. Before we get any farther, let's get some contact information, website address, and everything so everyone can follow along.
Yeah, our main phone number is 859-727-9000, or you can always get us on the web at arlinghouseair.com.
Fantastic. And a couple of things we're going to be talking about. As a matter of fact, let's just go ahead and jump into it. A lot of people button up their houses for the fall season or winter and are concerned about humidity. How can they tell if they need a humidifier?
That's a great question. So for the wintertime, you know, you're buttoning everything up, right? You're kind of trapping that heat inside. And as far as humidity goes, as it gets colder, the air can't hold as much moisture, and so the air in your home becomes drier.
Mm-hmm.
And the average home loses about 10,000 pounds in moisture from summer months to winter months. So we get all that moisture that leaves the house. Then you might get some hardwood flooring that'll crack and creak. So you get that separation in your hardwood. You may see that in antiques as well. If you've got some grandma's antiques, the piano or something like that laying around,
yeah.
Humidity is important for that. We've got customers that have nice guitars, and so humidity is really important to them too.
Sure.
Static electricity is another big identifier.
I was going to ask you about that because inevitably you'll walk across the room and go to touch or shake somebody's hand or something, and there's that spark. Or you touch something inside the house and you get juiced.
That was the big thing for my house when I first moved in.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I just hated that I couldn't put on a pair of sweatpants.
Yeah.
And then I go to pet the dog and he takes off running because I zapped him.
That's good. I like that.
So what can we do about that? You were going to give some advice about the static electricity.
Absolutely. You know, a whole home humidifier, bringing that moisture level up in the home to a rating that's it's supposed to be at. So between 30 and 45% is the most optimum setting on your humidifier.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, bringing that up is going to take away that static electricity. It'll reduce the amount of cracking and creaking in the hardwood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, save you know, grandma's antique table or china cabinet or whatever, you know, she passed down to you. All things that can help your house out and also help you out as well. So
mm-hmm.
Something that humidifiers do greatly for you is your upper respiratory system. So you know, something kind of gross on that topic would be your nasal cavity. So as it dries out in the wintertime, you know, your nose dries out and then you breathe in bacteria and viruses and that's how you get a cold, right? And then your nose becomes runny again because your body is trying to, you know, fight that and keep it from getting back down into your stomach and into your bloodstream. And so that's how you're getting sick in the wintertime.
Oh.
So adding a humidifier is good for your upper respiratory system. It keeps your nasal passage moist like it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then any bacteria that enters into your nasal passage, then, you know, it goes into your mucus and then goes down in your stomach, acid, and we get rid of that stuff. So and that will prevent you from, you know, going to Kroger's or whatever,
right,
to load up on the NyQuil. So.
Yeah, and there's nothing worse than being that uncomfortable with dry nasal passages and uncomfortable sore throat, breathing.
Yep.
A lot of that has to do with that.
itchy skin.
You know, yeah.
You know, all of that.
Yeah, itchy skin.
All ailments. Yeah. You see the dog scratching. I mean, they're in their house more than you are,
right?
Probably.
Right.
And so you see the dog scratching quite a bit. You know, he can get dry skin too.
Sure. That's exactly right.
So the setting is 30 to 45. Is that right?
That's the most optimum set point. You know, as the temperature outside changes, you know, you can make those adjustments at the humidistat. So if it gets really, really cold, you know, I got real busy two winters ago, and I left my humidifier set on 45%. It was when we got down into the negative temperatures, and I come home from a 14-hour day,
mm-hmm.
and I come home to about 12 inches of ice on my sliding glass door and all of my windows,
yeah.
right? So if we leave it set too high when it gets really, really cold outside, then we can risk, you know, windows freezing and things
like that. I didn't have that kind of ice, but I saw moisture on the window. So, it was 2 years ago,
yep.
exactly, just as you stated. So as the temperature goes down, you take the humidity level down?
You do turn the humidity level down.
Is there a range, say the temperature is at 10?
So there's a couple different ways you can figure out where I need it set,
mm-hmm.
right? On the humidistat itself, it actually gives you a reference point. If it's this temperature outside, this is what you need to have it set to.
Mm-hmm.
So I just upgraded my thermostat to a new Wi-Fi thermostat. You know, we guys always talk about the Wi-Fi thermostat.
Yeah.
And now it controls my humidifier automatically, so it knows what temperature it is outside,
mm-hmm.
and then it makes the adjustment for me. So it's kind of, you know, hands off. Even though I know what I'm doing and I know when I need to set it, it's so much easier just to let the thermostat do it. So.
Sure. And you have the convenience of that control on your smart boom. I remember when you were here a couple of times ago, you were talking about how now today's technology, you can control all that from your smartphone.
We were trying to get him to turn the heat on at home while he was here, yeah.
I told you, my girlfriend would be the first caller. You know,
yeah.
We could turn it up to about 80.
Yeah.
So she'll wake up sweating.
749-B105, in and around the house. We have Brian and Ryan from Arling House with us. We need to pause for a minute. When we come back, we want to ask you about the results of the air quality that you took in our studio here last time you were here. And we're going to cover a couple of other things about dust and basement smells. All the information available at Arling House, and jump on our Facebook page, In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We'll be right back. Back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, and we have Brian and Ryan from Arling House in with us this morning, and another wealth of information. We talked a little bit about humidity, and a couple of things that last time Ryan was here, he brought in a device to do a air filter or air quality examination. How did we test out? Remember?
Not too bad. So we've had this device now going on, I would say, you know, 3 to 6 months.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we've got one of them in the hands of one of our lead specialists. So he's running this report and collecting information and making recommendations. And then as people call in and ask about it and have concerns, it's something we can run as well. So it's called the Air Advice, and it is going to pick up a couple different things in your house that you can't see. So the particulate count, chemicals that are in the house and in the air, carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide,
mm-hmm.
Temperature, and relative humidity. So those are the things that it tests for. The most common thing that we find, especially in a studio like this or a meeting room, office spaces, and also in just really well-insulated and tight houses, is high carbon dioxide. So, you know, as human beings, we take in oxygen and we reject carbon dioxide. So
it would be high today. Ernie had
it. He was over there huffing and puffing, wasn't he?
Man.
So carbon dioxide was something that we tested high for
right.
in the studio, but the particulate count was pretty low. So as far as the air filtration that you guys have here, obviously we can't see it because it's somewhere either on the roof or in the ceiling somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, somebody's doing a pretty good job, or at least was at that time.
Sure.
Maybe we had some fresh filters in there.
So. Now, how was I take it you used that piece of equipment to demonstrate that for your clients as well when homeowners say, well, what's more air quality like? Is that a service?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Okay. So if that's something that somebody is concerned with, if they have concerns of any of the things that I mentioned, then we'll make sure that the specialist who comes out has this and can test for it. It only takes about 30 minutes to run the report, and then we get an email generated report and we can share those results with the homeowners.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. A lot of things that happen during the course of the fall and the winter when we close up the house is dust.
Absolutely.
Tell us how there's got to be a little bit of a way to cut down on that dust. It's not just as easy as making sure you have some Pledge.
I was going to say, a can of Pledge.
And a lot of rags.
So we talk a lot, obviously, about filters. That's a really popular topic every time we come on the show. Mm-hmm. Inevitably, we'll probably get a homeowner that has a question, just like we did last time, as far as how to clean their air cleaner. You know, as far as filters go, there's a wide range or variety of them out there, and every house may have one that's just a little bit different. It could be a different size. They could have control over the quality of the air filter that they're buying, or maybe it's an upgraded air filtration system. So one of the best ways to cut down on that dust is to upgrade your air filtration system to either an electronic air cleaner, or we also have it's an April air cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
It's a MERV 11 and also MERV 13. It can be either or, depending on what filter you put inside of it. And that is going to trap over 96% of the dust particles in your house.
Wow.
And over 90% of the pollen and mold particles that are floating around as well. Your average or standard 1-inch filter, just to give you a reference point, is only going to capture about 20% of the dust that flows through it. And then less than 5% of pollen and mold that's floating around the air.
Wow. So, is that easy to add to an existing system?
Now sometimes there is a little bit of ductwork that has to be modified, you know, to accommodate. It is a bigger cabinet, so the filter is actually about, just like the one in your house,
mm-hmm.
Is about 3 or 4 inches wide.
Okay.
Right? So this one, the box itself is almost 6 inches wide, and then it holds a 4-inch filter. So it does take a little, you need to have a little bit of room in between your furnace and your return drop. To accommodate it, but sometimes we can just move the return drop. It can be pretty simple, or it can be pretty involved. It just, every house is a little bit different.
On average, what would that cost a homeowner if they choose to go that route?
Sure. Yeah, the April Air air cleaner is $599, and that is taxes and labor. That does not include any major duct modifications. So. Hmm.
Very nice. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. We have Ryan and Brian from Arling House in with us. Another issue that always seems to creep up when we talk about closing the house up is some basement smells.
Oh, yeah.
And there's nothing worse than enjoying your house and then going down, if you have a living room down there or a living space down there, and to go, ooh, I think I'll just stay upstairs. What do you think we could do about that?
Dehumidifiers are a growing, very popular in homes. So, you know, just something to be aware of there, and you can go out and find this on the internet. Some of those smaller portable dehumidifiers, there was a recall on some of those.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a credit up to like $200 depending on what the model is and if it qualifies.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do a little bit of research on recalled dehumidifiers on the internet, just a Google search, you'll find that list and see if you qualify. One of the things that we offer as an HVAC company, we don't obviously sell the little standalone portable ones. We sell one that is kind of like killing the flea with the sledgehammer. It's something that you can control your whole house with. So it can be ducted. It can be freestanding, but it has a greater capacity. And when we control humidity from the basement level, that's where humidity starts, right? And so in the summer months, we want less humidity. And part of that smell is the mustiness of the basement, right? And, you know, to be kind of forward about it, I suppose, it's a mold fart. That's what it is.
I beg your pardon?
It's a mold fart.
Oh.
There you go. So you could have mold in a drain, like down around the main drain,
yeah.
Right? And when they fart, right, they spew out mold spores, and that's how mold spreads, right? And they
gotcha.
Give off those off gases that smell.
Could you have a musty basement during the winter months and you're trying to keep humidity upstairs? And would you have humidity issues in the basement where you want a dehumidifier?
Absolutely.
Could you have both going at the same time?
Absolutely. Man, you could
have
pretty
common? Or?
You could have like a 100-year-old house with a rock foundation,
yeah.
And you just get moisture that just pours in through that, right? And concrete is very porous too. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you've got your dehumidifier set to, let's just say, 45%, 50%, right? And then your humidifier is set to, we talked about, 30 to 45%,
right?
So let's say you got dehumidifier set at 50, 30 to 45 on the humidifier. They'll never cross paths. And usually your, you know, humidifier, the control for that, sometimes it's in the return duct, which is taking a humidity reading of the air that's coming from upstairs and passing behind the humidistat. And so it's getting a reading from upstairs. Your dehumidifier is taking a reading from your basement, right?
Okay.
So.
I didn't know if you could run them simultaneously. That's
you
what
you can.
And I could see that occurring, but I wasn't certain.
You know, the only thing I think you might run into trouble with is if you've got your dehumidifier set to 35% and your humidifier set to 40%. Now we're kind of, we've got a tug of war
got it.
You know, game going there.
Didn't know there was going to be math involved. Now I'm really starting to get worried. 749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Ryan and Brian from Arling House with us. And the other thing that we always hear about is carbon monoxide in the homes. When they get all buttoned up, it appears that that's a bigger issue, a bigger challenge. What's going on with that?
It can be, yeah. So any gas-fired appliance is capable of you know, outputting or, you know, producing carbon monoxide. It's a byproduct of the flame. But also, you know, even if you've just got an all-electric house, you know, your car can produce carbon monoxide, right? And, you know, we hear stories, you know, about carbon monoxide poisoning and deaths every year. And it could be something, you know, there for a while with those push-start cars.
Right.
You know, you heard some stories about people, you know, they're so quiet, you know, now, and they don't realize they're still running, and you get out and you leave it, you know, you close the garage door, and so people get sick that way. But also, you know, your gas-fired, you know, furnace and everything can produce it. So having a carbon monoxide detector, since we can't see it, taste it, smell it, is really important. And there's a couple of standards there on your carbon monoxide detector that are really important. So having a low-level carbon monoxide detector, just for the health and safety of you and your family, is the preferred carbon monoxide detector. So there are low-level and high-level detectors. And you can tell if you just take your carbon monoxide detector off the wall and look behind it, and it will have a rating. The most common UL-listed carbon monoxide detectors have an alert level of 70 parts per million. And they will only alert you if they detect 70 parts per million or higher for, and it may not tell you, for 1 to 4 hours, okay? That's a long time, right? So those are the high-level detectors. A low-level detector is going to have a faster response time. So the one that Arling House offers is something that has a response time at 35 parts per million and a response time within 5 to 15 minutes. And, you know, if you get a low-level alert from our carbon monoxide detector, you got time to finish, you know, making breakfast, drink your coffee, take a shower. It's not an emergency at that point. You make a phone call, and instead of calling 911, you get to call us, right? And so then we come out, and we take a look. You know, is it the water heater? Is it the furnace? Was it you know, the neighbor who was, I don't know, using some generator next door, and that's producing. And so we get to take a look at those things and find out that they're still in a safe, reasonable level, that someone can enter the home and find out what the problem is.
And I think this is really important, too, that something you guys provide service-wise. You had shown this to me in the past. We had a cracked heat exchanger.
Yeah.
And you had that nice, you had that technology where you can just get in there with that camera and show that to me clearly. And that's something a lot of people don't take into consideration and should. That is very important as well. And that's why you should have your furnace annually tuned up or inspected.
Absolutely.
You find that often?
You know, cracked heat exchangers, there's a lot of misdiagnosis of heat exchangers that are out there. So we equip all of our licensed techs with a couple different pieces of technology, some really expensive pieces of technology, one being a combustion analyzer. A combustion analyzer is a very expensive tool that takes a reading at the exhaust. So it's actually in the exhaust taking a reading. We can dial in the efficiency. So it's a good thing to dial in the gas and the fuel mixture. But also it can give us some indication, you know, is there a safety problem? And then, you know, so we run that report, you know, on all of our tune-ups and then also, you know, using that camera so that we can see on the inside of the furnace to locate the that potential issue and bring it to your attention if you need to. And we can show you right there on the camera, just like I did,
right,
you know, with you. So, yeah, definitely it's a good thing, but we need to have checks and balances. So that's why we're equipped with a couple different things because, man, you can just have a scratch on a heat exchanger and it looks like a crack, you know? Mm-hmm. So... you know, we gotta be sure, mm-hmm. you know, about it. So if you do have a company that lets you know that you do have a cracked heat exchanger, every year we offer free second opinions on cracked heat exchangers and also compressor failures. So always keep that in mind that, you know, it's don't freak out. You can get a second opinion and, you know, that way you're sure of what you have to do.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Brian Arlinghouse and Ryan Houlihan in with us talking about getting your house ready for the fall season. But we do need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back.
It's time to ask a pro with In and Around the House on B105.
Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we have Brian Arlinghouse and Ryan Houlihan in from Arlinghouse Heating and Air to get us updated on a lot of things that we need to make sure we get taken care of as we move into the colder season. And first one I ask you, do you have any specials or anything going on or any deals?
Absolutely.
We love deals.
Everybody likes a deal.
Yeah.
One of the best things that we got going on right now is a $69 tune-up. So that's your furnace inspection if you haven't had that done yet. If you have some questions, so our licensed technicians are great consultants. So, you know, if you have questions in regards to the filter, a humidifier, you know, whatever it is, or you just want to make sure everything's safe and running right, $69 tune-up right now. Regular price is $89, so it's just $20, or it is $20 off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as we talked about humidifiers, radio special, for those of you guys who are listening, you know, a lot of companies are charging upwards of $1,000 or more for a humidifier installation. If you guys are listening right now, $549 fully installed. That's taxes and labor.
Nice. Quite the deal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 749-B105 in and around the house. Something else that we wanted to touch base when we were talking about dust, and I saw you make this point when we were in break about dust mites.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know what dust mites are. Dust mites are part of the arachnid family, so spiders, chiggers, you know, in that family. So they thrive in your home in warm, humid environments, okay?
All right.
And dust mites actually feed off of us. So they eat your skin flakes. All right. Pretty gross. Right?
Well, I know there's a lot of well fed ones at my house.
And big dust mites. Yeah.
These are the things that really, you know, aggravate allergies and people with asthma.
Mm-hmm.
Asthma emergency room visits are the number one reason why people go to the emergency room is because of asthma. So you know, controlling dust mites is really important, and people don't think about these things. It's a gross thing to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little fun fact for you, that 10-25% of your pillow weight is dust mite poop. After just a year or two. All right.
Man, you've been talking about some
all right. Mold farts, dust mite poop.
Yes.
It's gross. But you are trapping all of this stuff in your house, right, in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And so that's why, you know, air filtration, humidity, controlling humidity with a dehumidifier and a humidifier is so important, okay? And we're finding out about all this cool stuff, right? Kind of cool. Cool to me,
yeah,
right?
All right.
Because of all the technology that's available today.
Yeah.
You know, so dust mites, they can't live in humidity levels lower than 50%. Okay.
Really?
They can't drink. Okay. Just like I'm drinking a bottle of water here. Mm-hmm. They can't drink. So they actually absorb moisture through their body.
So the dust mite count goes down during the winter months.
You got
population.
It.
Is that correct?
That's correct. So controlling humidity in the summer months is extremely important.
Got it. Ernie, that's what good you information. Need to work on.
Yeah, that's fantastic information. 749. I was just thinking about this pillow I've had forever going, and I love that pillow.
You'll be getting a new pillow.
You can get a new one from Karen Sackstetter next week.
I want to go home and throw them all away right now.
They live for about 30, between 30 and 100 days, how long they live.
I probably have several generations of those guys there because I've had that pillow forever. It's wonderful. But you know, not anymore. I look at that pillow differently now.
Yeah, are there still incentives for people who put in new HVAC systems with the government, state, or with Duke Energy?
Yeah,
people can take advantage of.
Duke Energy still has some rebates on efficiencies of furnaces and air conditioners. Owen Electric has some also over in Kentucky. Not a whole lot of incentives through the government right now.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's a geothermal system, you can get 30% federal tax credit. We haven't seen a whole lot of incentives through the government, just more of our local utility companies.
I guess that just kind of fluctuates from year to year.
It really does. Yeah. It really does.
I know. I think I missed mine. I think the year before you guys installed my system, there was a rebate. Then that year when you installed it, there wasn't a rebate, except through Duke.
Yeah. About 5 years ago, there was a $3,500 rebate.
That's sweet. You can't beat that.
That's come and gone.
And in addition to that, you guys, don't you also offer financing for people that want to put in new HVAC systems?
Something we're running right now, 60 months, no interest payments. I mean, you just cannot beat that.
No.
And a new system will actually probably pay for the money you're going to save on a new system will pay your payment. Mm-hmm. So it's a no-brainer a lot of times.
Ernie.
Yes.
What are you going to do about those dust mites?
I'm texting my wife
to get rid of the pillows.
Sending a text to my wife. Throw those pillows away.
Did you hear that?
No.
You know, indoor air quality is something that we just don't think about in our houses. And today we want these tight, efficient homes, and it's less air coming in. And like Brian was saying starting out, people go from hot to cold, cold to hot. They don't open their windows anymore. We're trapping all that stuff inside. So it's very important to see what is in the house with this air advice, and then by the report, of the recommendations, do those recommendations because we're breathing that.
Yeah.
Our lungs are acting as the filters, and we don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let the filter be the filter, not our lungs, and it's important.
Yeah, that's the two things. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that's the two things I loved about the fall and the spring are those periods where nothing is running, when we throw open the windows and let that fresh air into the house, and it just feels so great. And then, then you button it up and get through the winter, then open them back up during the spring and enjoy that again. And people aren't doing that anymore.
They don't. We don't see that customer anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, the people who suffer in the household are the children. I mean, they're the ones who are suffering the most. So it's very, very important if you have children to make sure that air quality is correct in the house.
So make sure that you get a hold of our friends here at Arling House Heating and Air. Let's get that contact information out one more time so they can reach you.
Telephone number is 859-727-9000. You can reach us on our website, arlinghouseair.com. We have a Facebook page you can check out, and we're on Instagram as well.
Awesome.
And not only do you do installations in Kentucky, you're also licensed for Ohio. Is that correct?
Yeah, we cover all three states. Southern Indiana, Southern Ohio, and Northern Kentucky. Yeah, pretty much the entire 275 loop and 20 to 40 miles beyond that.
Fantastic. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. We have Brian Arlinghouse and Ryan Houlihan from Arlinghouse Heating and Air with us. When we come back, we're going to revisit a couple of things that we talked about earlier in their visit, and we'll need to pause. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Brian Arlinghouse and Ryan Houlihan from Arlinghouse Heating and Air in with us this morning. And, guys, we have John on from Delhi on the line. I've got a question about cleaning the ductwork. So, hey, John, do you think it's loaded with stuff, or what's your question?
Well, I had new furnace put in and things, so probably about 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
and I had the ducts all cleaned in. But I've had people tell me, you know, it's really not worth spending the $400 to do it again.
Okay, so
now my wife, she's one that you were talking about the windows being open and stuff.
Yeah.
We usually don't turn our furnace on until about the middle of July for the cooling. She loves the windows open.
Oh, yeah. Well,
there's
a lot of us that didn't grow up with AC, so we wait to that very last minute to put it on. But
yeah.
And how does she feel about the furnace? Does she wait for the last of that?
She waits until she has to turn it on.
Gotcha.
But she likes it. We kind of like it, you know, a cool in there. We kind of, even if the furnace is on, we usually like keep it at like 69.
Yeah. So your question is that is it worth cleaning them again after having it done recently?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess the answer to that question was just as a general statement, you know, about every 5 to 10 years, it might not be a bad idea. Or if you are the first one let's say you buy a new house, for those homeowners who buy a new house and they're just moving in and you don't know if it's ever been cleaned before. One of the best ways to find out if it really needs to be done is to have, you know, one of our licensed techs come out. We can actually just drill a test hole, and then we do have cameras that have about a 3 foot, 3 to 4 foot extension on it, and we can take a look at, you know, what's on the inside of your ductwork, and kind of make the assessment from there whether or not you need to have it, you know, done now, or if it's something that you can wait on. Now, the amount that you're collecting in your air filter is also an indication. So, you know, I know you've got the windows open, and that's a great thing. You're letting in fresh air. Some people will keep their furnace blower running to keep the air moving, and it'll actually draw in some of that air from outside. So that's a great thing. So just paying attention to your air filter. Is it filling up? Is it really dark? You know, when you're pulling it out?
Not really.
Okay.
It doesn't, you know, fill up. And I've got one of the big fans, like, in the middle of my hallway.
Okay, whole house fans, yeah. Those are great. So your house is probably built in the
70s. I mean, when it's, like, this cool out and things like this, she's got that thing running.
Okay. Well, you know what? The best thing to do would just be to have, you know, somebody out and on your furnace tune-up visit. You know, we can consult you on that and figure out whether it's something you need to spend the money on again.
Okay, yeah, because I bought the house in 97, and we did the whole inside of it, and after I got done, I had it come out, had them come out and do it.
Okay.
Well, John, we're going to, go ahead.
Okay.
No, I was...
And then I had it, like, about 3 years ago, I had it done again.
Okay. Well, they should be able to show you. You know, if a reputable company will show you the duct cleaners, they will show you what they've collected.
Okay.
So if they show you something that doesn't look all that gross, well, I wouldn't have done it again.
And one more question is, when they do the duct cleaning, the first time I had it done, they didn't, you know, cut into the pipe downstairs by the furnace and put that bag down there?
Mm-hmm.
And the second time they didn't do that, and... Everybody's telling me to do it right. They should put a hole down there, I guess, to collect everything when it's blown down and pushed down.
You got it. So yeah. we don't do duct cleaning at Arling House, but we can make recommendations as far as the company we would recommend. So the right way to do it would be, you know, to absolutely cut that access hole down at the basement. They hook up what's called their HEPA filter. That may even be attached to the truck, and it's pulling suction. And then they start at the top of the house, the furthest vent away, and they stick air hoses down into the ductwork, and it's got a little nozzle on the end of it that shoots air in all directions, and they stir up everything that's in the ductwork. And when they're doing that, it's all being pulled down to that HEPA filter that they've got hooked up down at the furnace. And that's how they get everything
out.
Well, John, thank you so much. Hopefully that answers some of your questions.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we have Brian Arlinghouse and Ryan Houlihan from Arlinghouse Heating and Air with us answering some questions. So let's kind of recap what we were talking about during the course of your visit here. and bring our listeners up to speed about the humidity.
Yep. So humidity is a huge comfort factor in your home. In the wintertime, it's extremely important. You know, the relative humidity in the house, when it's at the proper level, it makes you feel warmer at lower temperatures, so it helps you save energy. It's also good for, you know, not only you and your upper respiratory system, keeping that nasal passage moist, so that that'll help you fight, you know, catching a cold. But it's also great for your house because, you know, the average home loses about 10,000 pounds of moisture from the summer months to the winter months. So when all that moisture leaves, all the wood and the furniture and everything in the home, you know, it can cause gapping in hardwood floors. It causes some destruction to antiques that are made of wood, guitars, pianos, things like that. So humidity is extremely important in the home to make sure that it's not too dry. And then on the flip side of that, in the summertime, you know, controlling the humidity in the basement to keep that musky smell out, you know, and by controlling humidity in the summertime from the basement, you're effectively controlling the whole home. And then Arlinghouse does offer a whole house dehumidifier that can be ducted into the system. That way you have greater control and greater capacity to keep that humidity level lower than 50% so that we don't have dust mites in your house, which will cause allergies and asthma and things like that. So,
and basement smells, great way to get rid of those.
With the dehumidifier.
And let's talk a little bit about the carbon monoxide.
Carbon monoxide detectors, there are high-level and low-level detectors. You want to make sure that, you know, you're replacing your carbon monoxide detectors every 7 years. I don't think we touched on that. But about every 7 years, most carbon monoxide detectors have a manufacturing date on the back of them. Or an expiration date. It'll actually tell you when it expires. High-level detectors, the average UL-listed high-level detector has an alert level of 70 parts per million, and it will only let you know that it's above 70 parts per million if it detects it. Well, it's got a response rate of anywhere between 1 hour up to 4 hours. So having a low-level detector is a better safety precaution to have in your home. Low-level detectors, the one that Arlinghouse offers, has a greater response level. At 35 parts per million, it's going to let you know, within 15 minutes. And so it's not quite an emergency at that point. It's more of a phone call that you can make to us instead of having to call 911.
Are those detectors both battery and electric or either or?
That's an awesome question. So a lot of the most popular ones, I want to say, are the plug-in ones. But carbon monoxide is slightly lighter than air, so it tends to rise. And we would want it, you want your carbon monoxide detector about 6 feet off the ground because that's where we hang out. That's where we breathe, right? So if there's a concentrated level, we want to know that it's up here. And so a battery-operated one, the one that we offer, does have batteries in it. And we'll change it out for you, you know, when we come out and do your fall service, and we'll test it. It's also the one that the low level detector that we offer. I mentioned that you should change them out every 7 years. It actually has a self checking system, so you don't have to change it out every 7 years. It'll actually tell you when there's an error or a problem with either the high level or the low level detector that's in it.
So, what about placement? One on every floor, including the basement, which would be most important, I would think.
You got it. Yep. We want it where we sleep. We want it where we hang out. So we sleep usually on the top floor. We hang out maybe on the center floor. And then the basement is where the appliances are. So if you've got a water heater and a furnace down there, then, yeah, you definitely want one there. So near the garage, too. You know, not a bad spot.
Been great having you guys in again. Thank you so much for coming back and seeing us.
Always a pleasure.
And love to have you back again soon. Brian Arlinghouse and Ryan Houlihan from Arlinghouse Heating and Air. Hey, give us your contact information one more time.
It's 859-727-9000. Website is arlinghouseair.com. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram.
Thank you so much. And in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, have a great weekend. And drop off that extra candy here at the radio station. I'll be sure to help you with that. Take care. Have a great weekend.